I think we have all received blessing at our watch night service. And for quite a number of years, one of the blessings that I received as we gathered for that service was that the Lord would give me very definitely a verse for the coming year. And many a time through the year, I found that that verse was exactly what I needed. Now, this year, I did not have impressed on me any verse. And frankly, I felt a little disappointed. Last Wednesday night, while our brother Schwartz was preaching from the third chapter, I got my verse. And I've used it several times since, and it works. So I want to pass it on to you tonight, and I hope it'll be a blessing to all of us in the year that we are now entered upon. We'll read just the one verse, for I want to impress on our hearts just a few simple facts from the 20th verse of Ephesians chapter 3. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. Amen. As I looked at this verse, a verse I'm sure I can say I've read hundreds of times without any exaggeration, as I looked at this verse last Wednesday night sitting here, My mind went away back about 50 years, and I thought of a gathering of several thousand Christians in a large building in Toronto, Canada. It was the Massey Music Hall, which at that time was one of the best-known auditoriums in Toronto and even in Canada. And this was secured by the Toronto Assemblies for their Easter Conference every year. It is a gathering that attracted thousands of the Lord's people. And it was quite a thrilling scene to see that many sitting down to remember the Lord and then listening to the ministry of the Word of God. On this occasion, a preacher from Virginia went to the platform. He read this verse, and he spoke on it. I do not remember, of course, what he said. I have difficulty remembering what happened 50 minutes ago, let alone 50 years. I don't remember what he said, but I remember how he said it. And I remember how he took apart this verse. And that has stayed with me these 50 years. I want to pass it on to you tonight. And I hope that we will leave this gathering with this one thought impressed upon our hearts. Our God is able. Now, I don't want to get digressed from that into answering the questions, well, why is this not happening in my life? Why is this not realized by me in an experiential way? That would draw us aside from the main thought that I want to impress upon our hearts tonight, and I want God to impress it on my heart as I speak to you. Now unto him that is able. And so God is telling us here, he is able. I hope that will stay with you this entire year. He is able. We could turn to quite a number of scriptures in the New Testament that would have that wonderful statement. He is able. There are at least seven outstanding ones. telling us that God is able. I remind you only of two others beside this, because I don't want our minds to get cluttered up with too much of detail, but rather to focus on this one main thought: He is able. In Hebrews 7, chapter 7 and verse 25, we read, He is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for. So He is able to save. We read in the 24th verse of the little epistle of Jude, He is able to keep you from falling, and to preserve you blameless, and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy. What a wonderful thing, then, that He's able to save and He's able to keep. I think there's a lovely verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8 where we read that He is able to make all grace abound toward you, so that we, having all sufficiency in all things, might abound unto every good work. I think that's a wonderful verse. It's not as well known as it should be. Just think of the alls that are in it. He is able to make all grace abound toward us, so that we, having all sufficiency in all things, might abound unto every good work. But what we want to notice here is not only that He is able, but notice it says He's able to do. Yes, our God is a working God. We rejoice in the finished work of Christ. We know that so far as redemption is concerned, that is, so far as the making atonement for sin, the meeting all of the demands of a holy and righteous God, that work is eternally finished. But our God is working, and He's able to do. Let us again and again, as we find ourselves in situations where we cannot do what is necessary. Now, God puts no premium on laziness. If we do a thing, God expects us to do it. He doesn't want us to fold our hands, sit back, and wait for Him to do something that we can do for ourselves or to do for others. I've heard of a prayer meeting where a brother who was quite well fixed, a farmer who was well fixed, he was praying very, very earnestly for his widowed neighbor that the Lord would send her the supplies she needed for the winter. And while he was praying, he felt a tap on his shoulder. And a very practical brother whispered to him, "If you give me the keys to your store room, I'll answer your prayers right now. We won't have to bother the Lord anymore." Now, that's just practical Christianity. There's no use of praying for something that we can do ourselves. But there are many things we can't do. You and I constantly find ourselves in situations we just cannot do what is necessary. Now, when we find ourselves there, let's remember Ephesians 3:20. He is able to do. I can't do it. You can't do it. He can do it. You know, you remember the Apostle Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And so we need to remember we have a God who is able to do. But now read on. It says He's able to do all we ask. Now, there again, I am not going to digress and take you to the many, many promises or exhortations that we have in our New Testament regarding this matter of asking. That is a subject in itself. But we all know, I'm sure, the promise of our Lord in Matthew chapter 7, verses 14 and 15, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened unto him. And right there you're asking, well, why doesn't he give me what I ask for? Well, we'll tell you some other message. Not this time. In fact, you ought to search out your Bible and find out yourself. You know, we wouldn't need one-tenth of all the counseling and classes and whatnot that we're having today if people would just read their Bibles. What we need is a generation that will learn to go to the fountainhead of truth and get it for themselves. They ought to be like the simple old Roman Catholic who went to the priest, and the priest told him what to do. Well, he says, who tells you what to do? Well, he says, the bishop tells me what to do. And he said, well, who tells the bishop what to do? He said, the pope tells the bishop what to do. And who tells the pope what to do? He said, God tells the pope what to do. He said, then I'll just milk the cow for myself. And I'll get it direct from headquarters. If we would just learn to go to the Word of God, the answers are all here. And it means so much more if you get it for yourself. It'll stay with you. It'll have a strength and a power in your life that second-hand learning will not give you. So, we are told to ask. And you remember James says, ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lust. But we're thinking of his God's ability. It says he is able to do all that we ask. We have a God of infinite power that can do all that we ask. You know, I believe God is just waiting for us to ask him for some things that we're almost afraid to ask for. In fact, that's what it goes on to say. He's able to do all that we ask. He's able to do all that we ask or think. You ever thought when you were praying about something and you thought, no, I'd like to ask the Lord for that. That's too much. That's too big. You thought about it, but you just didn't have faith to even put it into words. Well, now, what's that verse say? He is able to do all that we ask or think. What we even have in our mind, but we are not quite able to actually put it into words to ask him for it. Now he's able to do that. Have you followed the verse? He is able. He is able to do. He is able to do all that we ask. He is able to do all that we ask or think. Now, that's a whole lot. Don't you think we better stop there? The verse doesn't. It says he is able to do above all that we ask or think. So after we have asked, after we have thought and been afraid to ask for those things we thought of, we have a God who's able to do above that. Isn't that a marvelous thing? Oh, how we limit the ability and power of our God. I believe that we grieve our God in that way. We read of those who limited the Holy One of Israel. And I believe we do that when we fail to carry out the exhortation to make deep our requests. We ask God for the simple things. Brothers and sisters, let's begin to ask God for some of the difficult things. The things we can't do. The things we're almost afraid to ask Him for, because it says He's able to do above all that we ask or think. But we haven't reached the end yet. He is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. Abundantly. And just to put it very simply, the thought in that word abundantly is out beyond. Out beyond. And if we just let that simple thought grip us, isn't it a wonderful thing to think of our God? There's a God in heaven who has invited us to the throne of grace, who has not only told us but commanded us to ask. And there's a God who is able not only to do above all that we ask or think, but is able to go out beyond that. Abundantly above all that we ask or think. Not just meagerly to give, but abundantly. And even then, we haven't reached the end. He is able to do. He is able to do all that we ask. He is able to do all that we ask or think. He is able to do above all that we ask or think. He is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. But even then, we've not reached the end. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And once again, very simply, you can think of that word exceedingly here as meaning more than that. More than that. I do not know any other place in our wonderful Bible where the apostle is led to use such a piling up of words as he would seek to impress upon these Ephesian believers long ago, and we believe, Greensboro believers tonight, the ability of our God. Think of it again. He is able. He is able to do. Are we seeing God work in our lives? That is why God saved us. That He might have vehicles through which He can work in this world. Why did God give me a hand? He gave me a hand that it might do what my brain told it to do. Why did He give me feet and legs? That they might carry me where my brain tells them to take me. Why has God picked up you and me and made us members of the body of Christ? Not in just a theoretical, mystical way, but actually members of His body. He has done that. That He might work through us. And if you think that you are just a very small member, therefore God can't work through you, well, just go out and break your little toe and see how difficult it is to walk without that little toe. Now, you got all the others in good working order. Don't do it the way I did. It's very painful. I collided with the leg of the bed. It didn't hurt the bed one bit. But I limped around for several months, and I learned that that little insignificant member down in there had a whole lot to do with me walking. We are not too small for God to use us, but sometimes we get too big. Sometimes if that little toe swells up too big, it's not much use. Can't even get your shoe on. And sometimes we get all swollen up with a sense of our self-importance. And God says, I'm sorry, you're too big for me to use. I'll have to find somebody that's small enough. But He is able. And He's able to do. And He wants to do. Any father who is worth the name at all wants to do for his children and gets real pleasure out of doing for those who belong to him. That's one of the joys of fatherhood. You have those who are your own flesh and blood that you can do for them. Now that's just a little reflection of our Heavenly Father. He wants to do for us. He wants to do for you. He wants to do for me. But we're so busy doing for ourselves, we get in His way. But remember now, He is able to do. He's able to do all that we ask. There are reasons why He doesn't do what you ask, but one of the reasons is not that He isn't able. Now, every one of us as fathers have had to tell our children at times when they've asked to do something for them, well, I'm sorry, I just can't do it. There may be different reasons, physical, financial, some other reason. But our God is able to do all that we ask. He's able to do all that we ask or think. He's able to do above all that we ask or think. He's able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. And He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So if we bring our deepest need to Him and we put over against that need the ability of our God, we just have to write out more than that. Yes, His ability is more than that. How it should encourage us. And I believe it's just the grasping of this simple but tremendous truth has in the past caused some of God's people, both men and women, to do extraordinary things for God. They have realized they had a great God. They have rolled it all over to Him. They've allowed Him to take control and to carry out His purposes. And as a result, mighty things have been accomplished. And so while I've been speaking to you on a number of occasions since the beginning of the year on the possibility that you and I may face almost unparalleled testings and trials in this year of 1977. The other side of it is this. That's what I want to leave with you tonight. We've got a God greater than that. Brethren and sisters, doesn't matter what the problem may be. Now, I'm preaching a very costly sermon tonight. I've long since learned this, that it costs to preach. Because God sees to it that you practice what you preach. If you don't, He'll see your preaching pretty soon comes to an end. And I fully expect in 1977 I'm going to need the tremendous truth of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. But that doesn't change the fact. God is able. And I believe if this company of Christians here, young and old, if we put God to the test, not in any foolish way, I don't mean that at all. God's not in any of this business of jumping off a roof and saying, well, God will take care of me. Now, he'll take care that you land hard enough, that you'll learn a lesson, you won't try it again. That's what he'll do. If God provides medicine for you to be cured by, and you say, I'll trust God, if you could just hear what God's saying, he's saying, now don't be a fool, go ahead and take that medicine. I provided that for you. So it isn't that we go ahead and do a lot of silly things to try and prove our faith in God. It isn't that. You remember what the Lord said? He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. When he was tempted to leap off the parapet of the temple, he said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And God doesn't want us doing foolish, silly things like that. But when there is a challenge and a need that, if it's met, will be to the glory of God, I believe that right there is when we should take the promise of God and stand on it. Say, now, God, you've said it. I believe you're going to do it, and I'm counting on it. And God will honor his word, and he'll honor that kind of faith in him. I believe that that which brings the greatest dishonor to our Lord and to his name, and that which weakens our testimony possibly more than anything else, is when we, as those who profess to have a God like this, when in the face of trial and testing, when we just go to pieces. Now, there just isn't any reason for it. And I'm speaking carefully. There just isn't any reason for it. In ourselves, yes. In God, absolutely not. God is able. And so, as we leave the service tonight, you have not learned anything you didn't know. But I hope you have been reminded of this, and I hope that in the days that lie ahead, these simple words will come back to you again and again and again and again. He is able. And when we have a problem, brothers and sisters, and we're going to have them, we've got them, and we're going to have more, let's just do as many Bible characters did. We could go through the examples of the Word of God. They went into the presence of God and just spread it out before him and left it there, and the Lord undertook for it. You know, there's, as I look back on these 50 years of Christian life, the things that stand out most are those times when God came in when it seemed humanly impossible, and God did things that were just so unusual and so unmistakably done by him that I tell you, the effect of that remains with you year after year. And I think that's what the writer meant when he wrote under inspiration, the people that do know thy name shall do exploits. And as we know our God and his wonderful name, we are able through his power to do exploits for him. So may this be a practical help to each one of us. I'm sure that every heart, every home, every family has problems. But thank God we have a God that's greater than that. Remember, he's able. And he's able to do. And we can ask him to do. And he will do it, brothers and sisters. And you and I can come together and rejoice in what God has done for us. Let's trust him. Let's test him. in a humble way and prove his unchanging faithfulness. Let me just read you the verse again. Now unto him that is able, and may I tell you, it's not necessary, but it may help you a little. That word at the end here, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, I didn't want to get into that because, as I said, I am not dealing with the way God is going to work, nor why he doesn't work sometimes. All that we have instruction in his word. But that word power, according to the power that worketh in you, is the same word, practically, as you have that we're thinking about, he is able. So that you can read this verse with absolute accuracy, he has the power. Oh, how weak we feel, how powerless. And we think of the power of the enemy, the power of the devil, the power of sin. Remember, he has the power to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thy precious word would remind us of the great God to whom we are related. As we think of our own helplessness, our own weakness, our own feebleness, then realize that we've been linked to the power of Almighty God. We marvel, Father, that we have allowed so little of that power to flow through us. But we do pray that as a result of our considering this tremendous verse tonight, we may be encouraged to trust thee more. Sometimes the billows rev high, Father. Sometimes the valley seems deep and dark. But we pray, whatever our circumstances may be, we may remember that thou art able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. In that name, the name of him who could say, all power is given unto me in heaven and on the earth, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen.